to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
This is the story of 3 days. On the first day, the second transport company left McKee Barracks at 6 p.m. on Sunday the 6th of March for Somalia. On the third day, the 8th of March, the first transport company returned. It began on an extremely cold and windy evening.
Private O'Brien, Gerard. Private O'Brien, William.
Yes.
Private O'Connell.
Yes.
Corporal O'Grady.
Yes.
Private O'Keefe.
Yes.
Just some of the 80 men and one lady setting off for Dublin Airport by bus for Somalia.
Private Ryan.
Yes.
Private Hogan.
Serial number 26. Okay.
Now, I believe we have some people travelling with us also.
Private Godfrey, you're one of them.
Yes.
Eamon Park, or Eamon Daly, and yourself, sir, is it? And is there anybody else travelling, sir? From RTE. Top functional.
Gurmila Margaret.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Right, gentlemen, remember, that's your manifest order. The people in AM want to check us all off again. So now we just...
Continue, you see us!
You heard there too, my name has just been called out. Here am I, setting off to Somalia with 80 men.
Start a couple of dump bars, hook, and the remainder starting a private Luby. We're travelling the newer bus. We're getting a little bit more luxury. We're on the luxury to go out the window and soon begin outside, so come on to yourself and now. Look, yes, big! Great tossing, Marshall!
So off to Dublin Airport, where we were greeted by the airport police and escorted to our very special waiting area, away from the main airport. The men are a little anxious, lots of nervous giggling and slagging, and restless to be off.
The company formed up on 10th of January in the Curragh, and basically we got to gear ourselves into thinking that we were going somewhere different. And I tried to emphasise to all the boys and our lady driver that it wasn't Lebanon that we were going to, that it was a different ball game altogether. And the training that was involved was basically more to do with tactics, a tactical movement of troops, or a convoy move from A to B. And again, I had great help from everybody. Blended in, they'd done what he had to do. And the actual... The training, as you know, is very detailed anyway, so I won't go into that. But the training that was carried out was basically convoy duties, convoy, what we call convoy SOPs, and how to get from A to B without anything happening, basically. Or if something does happen, what we do.
How many of them have been out before to Lebanon?
How many? Oh, most of them have been to Lebanon.
Yeah.
Like, they've all... I've one or two good boys there now with seven and eight trips to Lebanon, so they know what they're doing.
And what about any first-timers?
There are two.
That's all?
Two at the moment, yes.
So, I'd just like to take this opportunity of bidding you all a safe journey out there, a safe tour there, and a happy journey back. I'll be out on Wednesday week to visit you for a couple of days anyway, and I'm looking forward very much to that. I have a lot of old friends and enemies going out in this group, and I hope they have the kind of time they'd like to have. It's a tough mission, don't get it wrong, a very tough mission. The weather is extreme.
Ladies and gentlemen, we in Aer Lingus are delighted to be with you on this flight to Nairobi. Captain Brian Lang is in charge.
As soon as we were in the air, I went in search of the first timers.
I was never anywhere before now. It's my first trip abroad with the Army.
And how do you feel about it?
I haven't made up my mind yet. I haven't decided.
But you did volunteer.
Oh, I did volunteer, yeah.
And why did you never volunteer for Lebanon?
It never appealed to me. Never thought... I never wanted to go to Lebanon.
And what does it mean to you about Somalia?
I haven't decided yet. I don't know. Tell you in a week.
What's your name?
Patrick O'Grady.
And Are you excited about it all?
I am excited, yeah. I am, yeah.
Was it a sad day today?
Yeah, it was sad, yeah. It was sad. It was sad, but we were happy at the same time.
Who's at home now?
Wife and two children. Nora, Tig and Kira. Happy as Larry to be rid of me, I'd say.
You're from Donegal, are
That's
you?
That's right,
yeah. And have you been to Lebanon lots of times?
I've been there twice.
And you volunteered for Somalia?
Yeah, that's right.
How do you feel about this one?
I don't know. A bit nervous, I suppose. See what it's like.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. I don't know. With that. It's just here's the scariest part.
I know, exactly. Okay. Once you're there, it's okay.
Hold
your hand. Are you scared of an airplane?
Scared
of
a wee bit.
Wait till you get on the Lancaster, no, the, what's it called, the Hercules. By golly, then you might be scared. I'd be holding your hand then.
Hold it then.
And you've never been anywhere before?
Never been anywhere. Overseas, Lebanon, nowhere.
How do you feel about this?
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm surprised I got this trip, you know.
Why
Somalia.
You're a good driver.
Good driver, yeah. Hopefully, yeah, man, yes. So my CO says.
What was your day like today?
Great. Kind of didn't expect half the treatment we got anyways, you know. Kind of felt really important, more than anything else, you know.
What kind of treatment did you get?
Well, like, all the high-ranking officers coming down to say goodbye and things like that, you know. I never thought that'd happen, you know. The size of this plane.
It's great, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
And the room as well.
Massive.
Yeah,
I was on small planes, all right, but never on this big. I'm amazed at staying up. That's great.
Did you have to say goodbye to many today?
Just my parents and my fiancé down in Cork and my child. But other than that, it's grand.
What age is your baby?
3 years of age.
That was sad.
I was. She wanted to know had I got her little uniform packed, because she wanted to come out with me, you know. But she thinks she calls. She says I'm going to Somalias. She can't say Somalia. But she didn't mind. She get over.
I will indeed.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye. Now, a lady on board. Do you know what I heard about you? I heard you were one of the best drivers in the army.
True.
You're not very modest, are you? What? Tell me your name first.
Private Moran O'Connell.
Were you thrilled when you got this trip?
I was, yeah. I was very surprised, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, I was, because it's unusual, I think, for a female to get Somali. You know, I was surprised, but I'm delighted. whether the lads would be scared with me driving them now is another thing, but...
To learn much about it before you came out?
Yeah, we learned quite a bit, you know. Well, I wouldn't know. I'm waiting. It's all going to be new to me, as I say, but we know the temperatures and that, and to expect extreme temperatures, and we're going to be living in accommodation, like tent accommodation, but I think it's high quality tent accommodation.
Yes, so I heard, yes. And
yeah.
It's even air conditioned.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So it's going to be new, it's going to be different, but I'm going to enjoy it, I think.
How do you feel now?
Tired.
Are you looking forward to getting there?
Oh yeah, I'm excited alright. I'm expecting it to be very hot on here, but you wouldn't really expect the heat that we're going into. It's supposed to be around 51 degrees.
Did you have many to say goodbye to yesterday?
My wife, Susan, and daughter, Sarah, mother and father.
Were they nervous about it all?
Oh yeah, fairly nervous. You know, Susan wasn't too bad now, to be honest. She's fairly strong, like, you know. But I'd say I was worse than any of them. It's terrible hard saying goodbye, like, you know.
What's your name?
Ray Murphy. I'm from Port Arlington.
William O'Brien is
And where are you? Where do you live?
I'm from Mallow myself.
How many injections did you have to have?
Which is, I can't count a number.
Really?
Oh my God, you just can't count the number. The medical was severe, which was only right anyway, you know, because of the conditions that we're going to be confronted by. You know, there's no top grade hospital in this particular area.
Is there a medic here with you?
Sergeant Michael Nolan there.
He's in the background there at the moment. There he is there now, standing up. He's coming down now, actually. Yeah, he's back turned, you know.
Thanks, Lennon.
No problem, Tessa.
Great tour. I hear you're the medic.
That's right, yeah.
I want to know about the injections, all the injections they got.
Well, they started off with yellow fever. Then went down to the College of Surgeons. We got rabies and meningitis. We got three of those. First one, you get one the first day you go. Then the next week, then you get another one. And then the third week. Actually, it's a month from the first to the last. And then they got hepatitis A if they required it, hepatitis B. And we were tested for HIV as well, so everybody is clear. So they're going out here with a completely clean bill of health.
Were there any turned down because of medical reasons?
There was, I suppose, 25% or more.
Were there?
Yeah.
So all you guys here are really the fittest?
What we do now, we do a fitness test. So if you pass that, well, basically, that should cover you.
There are the treadmill, is it?
No, you do a two mile run in the different age groups have different set of speeds, time limits. So the over 40s, now they would have some oldies, I guess, man. But they would walk 3 miles in the same time, or say an hour or something like that. Next year I'll be in that one. They wouldn't let me do it this year because I was just on top of the hill but not quite over it. So I'll be 40 out there.
How many did you leave behind?
Two boys and a missus.
Where are they?
They live in McKee Park. I had a busy morning of it because I was selling the car, and I got up early to sort of get the car ready to sell and got it over and got back and various other things. So
you sold your car this morning?
Yeah.
Just have a great trip.
Okay, thank you very much.
Look after the guys well.
I'll do my best.
I know you can't hear him here, but the captain is telling us that we're approaching Nairobi and that the weather is wonderful and that we'll be landing very shortly. And in front of me are all these guys tripping off, showing their chests and taking off their clothes because it's going to be so hot, because they left, of course, and they're heavy in their heavy uniforms. And I'm surrounded by bare-chested and tattooed guys. They're all going to lose weight now with all the sweat in their leg. There's a powerful lot of stripping going on. But I'm lucky, surrounded by men stripping. I should tell you as well that it's now 20 minutes to 3 in the morning of Monday morning, and we've just had breakfast. In fact, we had our breakfast at 2 o'clock. There's a great crowd of guys around here. They're all so happy.
Of course it is. How much hours is the difference? Many hours is the difference?
3 hours.
3 hours, yeah. So really it's now what?
It was about 4 to 6.
Did they give you glasses, sunglasses?
Yeah. Don't know what they're like though. We haven't got them yet.
Got any of your stuff yet, really?
Well, we have this here and boots, stuff like that.
What else are you going to get when you get there?
We're supposed to be getting t-shirts and what else are we getting? T-shirts.
What?
What else are we getting? T-shirts and hats, sunglasses, creams, and that's basically it.
I bet you're dying to get settled in.
Yeah, definitely.
Please put out your cigarettes now. Don't smoke again until the officers give your permission. Thanks. On behalf of Captain Lang and the crew, I'd like to say how much we've enjoyed being with you. And we look forward to seeing you on your return. Have a pleasant trip.
Not nearly as much as we look forward to seeing you.
And so we land in Nairobi, a very empty airport. And we do get inside while the Aer Lingus plane is unloaded onto the American Hercules.
What do you think of Nairobi?
The scenery out there now is something you'd see on the television, you know, the old landscape. Very
That's
nice.
Right.
But I don't think we'll see much of that, though.
Well, you will when you're driving around, will you not?
I'm a mechanic. I'll be under the trucks.
You'll be in the place, I see. What about you? Are you a driver? Yes,
I'm a driver, yeah.
Well, then you will see.
I'll see most of it anyway. Whatever there is to see, like. Don't know.
Do you like driving? You must.
I do. I love it, yeah. Love it.
Really? I can't believe that anybody could like driving.
Ah, sure. You're out on your own, and you're kind of your own boss when you're out on the road.
That's true.
Nobody roaring at you.
Nobody bothering you.
That's right, yeah.
Where are you from?
Cork.
And your first name is?
Michael Maloney.
How many people are sad at home at you leaving?
The wife and two kids. But they get over it, no problem. They're used to it at this stage.
How many times have you been away?
Twice.
Oh, that's not so much.
That is not too bad, no. They're used to it anyway.
What about you?
Away?
Have you been away?
Yeah. This is my second time.
11 on before, of course.
11 on, yeah.
Were you delighted? Oh, yeah, I do see you've got hay fever. Were you delighted about coming to Somalia?
I was, actually. I'm kind of, you know, it's a new experience, you know, yourself. There's something different. Lebanon was a bit played out, I think, even though I was only over there once now, but it's a bit kind of too militarised, you know.
Yeah. What's your name? Something Murphy.
Finbar Murphy.
Oh, you have to be from Cork, no?
Have to be, yeah. Same Finbar.
Of course. I hear him saying that the plane is going in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Our Hercules. Have you got your earplugs?
I have.
Yes.
In the bag somewhere.
Yeah, we all have, I think.
Thanks.
Okay.
So we're back on the tarmac, and again the men march on. Inside a very different story from the luxury of the 767. This is the real transport plane. The back open like one of the ferries. We all sit down the middle in rows facing each other on canvas benches with a kind of webbing to lean against. It's extremely hot and extremely noisy. And here again, a roll call to make sure no one has escaped.
Private Gallagher!
Yes.
Private Gallagher!
Present.
Private Gleeson!
Yes.
Private Connolly!
Yes.
Private Grimes!
Yes.
Private Hogan! Yes.
All aboard.
And Mr. Peter Bourne.
That's me.
I beg your pardon, Captain Peter Bourne. I hadn't got you on the original one.
I thought you fairly couldn't count.
We settle in on the Hercules, all with our earplugs. So there's nothing to do but doze off. The pilot apologised for the facilities. None. The meals, none. And tongue-in-cheek, he said, because there were two ladies on board, they were too embarrassed to show the in-flight movie. After 2.5 hours, we arrive in Baidoa. And oh boy, the heat.
Just to put you in context now, that's the main runway, obviously, and that's Camp Shannon just over there. See what they're writing on the top of the...
Oh, I do, yeah.
On the rope hall.
Yeah.
That sounds, and everything else is Indian, more or less, as you see. That's the main gate of the whole place.
I see. What do you think about that ride in that aeroplane, the Hercules?
It wasn't too bad, but... The noise was the killer part of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
You know, the noise, yeah.
Actually, it was more comfortable than I expected.
See, there was a lot of talk before it, like, I mean, how bad it's not, that it might be, but, it wasn't too bad after all. It was only the noise, like, you know, that's what I thought. The noise, like, you know.
This is kind of a desolate place, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
God, you're going to be here for 6 months. I heard somebody on the plane said, no, I don't think I'll stay, I think I'll turn back. We're arriving at the camp and all the cheers are from the guys who are about to go home. They're all waiting to greet us, delighted with themselves to think about it this time, that shortly they'll be on the way out. They're all tanned. God, what an amount of dust. It's hot.
As I walked through the camp, a miniature village of curious dome-shaped tents made entirely of plastic, I came across Sergeant Nobby Clare sitting on a most impressive bench.
Where'd you get the bench?
One of the engineers' private... Damien McCormick, he made it.
Wonderful. Made it while he was here.
Yes.
And who's Kate's joint?
Oh, Kate Kearney's cottage. We have a Corporal Kearney here, and he has a container down there, and we call it Kate Kearney's cottage.
I see.
Like anyone who, like especially the fitters and people who work down the far end of the camp, they go in for a cup of tea in the mornings and some water. And
what's the sign there?
Oh, the sign's Christy Moore's sign. This is Moore Street you're in now at the moment.
I see.
All the streets here were named by myself and Sergeant Gerard Lennigan. That's Sergeant Lennigan's medical sergeant. That's why you have Slee Henry Dunant, because he was the founder member of the Red Cross.
Oh, I see. So this is Slee Henry Dunant.
And you have Baroness Ryder for Captain O'Shuker, who's a Kerry man. Then you have Leeson Street, you have Moore Street, O'Connell Street, and St. Patrick Street.
Gosh, and the camp is Camp Shannon.
Camp Shannon, yes. Yeah.
Gosh, you're only 6 months here and you've named all those places.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
What was it like when you came out here in the beginning?
It took us a long time to acclimatise to the weather. It's very warm out here. But
is it hot all the time?
Yes. It wasn't as hot as it is now when we first came out. It was only about 30 degrees. Now it goes up sometimes to 51 degrees centigrade. So during the hours of 12 to 3 or 4, you're better off to stay indoors, out of the sun altogether.
And do most people do that?
They do, they do. Yeah, yeah.
But at least you have air conditioning.
Oh, the air conditioning is great.
Yeah. Is it noisy?
It's a bit noisy, but you get used to it. I'd say now when we go home, we'd have to tell the wife to put on the radio so we can go to sleep, so you need some noise to it.
What you'd be telling her to is put on the heat.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Oh, well, I'd be glad to get back to the Irish weather. I'm more used to that. So,
did you go home for your holidays?
No, no.
Stayed here the whole 6 months?
Well, I went to Kenya for 6 years, and I had a good time there.
What was it like?
It was different, to say the least. It was very warm. There's a lot of people coming up trying to sell you things, hassling you all the time.
It's terrible.
Yeah. But basically, it was good holiday, you know. Yeah. Great break.
I expect you were in Lebanon at some stage.
Oh, I was, yeah.
No. But what's the difference between the two places?
It's completely different here. The people here, they have no respect for life whatsoever. And they're not afraid of a gun. They're more afraid of a stick. Like when we go on convoys, if you point the gun at somebody, if you think they're endangering your life, if you point the gun at them, they don't bother. But if you pick up a stick, we call them Baho sticks. Baho is go away. And the stick is called a Baho stick. So when you lift it up, they just go away. You don't have to tell them.
How amazing.
Yes, yeah.
What can you do for relaxation?
What I do was listen to Christy all the time. That's my relaxation. Yeah, Christy's the best. Zoid little dog. That's the saying over here. When you meet anyone, you say, Zoid little dog, where's the Christy?
It's now about 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Taken to a tent for a wee rest and then off to lunch. After lunch, I'm taken on a tour with Maurice O'Donoghue, a really splendid commentator, to see some of the countryside, go through by Doha City, and then a visit to an Indian camp, making sure that the guns are loaded as we leave through the main gate.
And obviously we're all armed with Steyr rifles, and we have an escort of our own with the GPMGs, but we stop outside and we load our weapons here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
How many people live in the town?
There's about, I suppose, the best guesstimate would be about 70,000. But you will see
as big.
You, oh, it's big. In fact, it's the largest inland city, as they would call it here, in Somalia. And in fact, it's a very important town because it's at the very strategically located between Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia. We go straight on. Just on the right-hand side is the Indian hospital, and the Indian hospital treat upwards of 400 to 500 local Somalis every day. People trek in literally for 25, 30 kilometres, incredible distance to get treatment here in the Indian hospital, and the Indians obviously do it as a humanitarian, for humanitarian reasons. And if you just look right and left as you go down, you'll see the incredible damage that has been done during the Civil War. All of the buildings destroyed, no roofs on anything. On the left-hand side, actually, is a school which was run by Concern. That's Irish Concern, and they're very much involved here in the town of Baidoa in rehabilitation and in schooling, both primary and secondary schooling.
Yeah.
And they also have a teacher training college there, which was actually opened by the Minister for Defence about 4 months ago when he was here on one of his visits.
Oh, really? Yeah.
See the ladies on the left-hand side? Oh. I mean, you can see they're treated absolutely dreadfully.
Loads and loads of sticks on their back.
Mm. I mean, it's appalling the weather treated. They're literally worse than pack animals.
On the left-hand side, you've got the main water point for the town. And in fact, that's the river, although it doesn't look very much like a river now, completely dry. And bare. And we're going down through the main street of the town, and here on the left, you've got various displaced persons' houses and shacks.
There.
That's almost beyond
those.
Belief. They do indeed, Jim. And just up here on the right-hand side, we have what's known as the chat market. And actually, there's very little activity around now because the chat obviously hasn't come in. But,
what's the chat?
Chat is a narcotic. It's a narcotic weed, basically, which is a stimulant, and it also acts as a hunger suppressant. And it's flown in from Kenya, where it's grown. And it's legal, believe it or not. Well, I mean, insofar as anything is illegal here, it's legal. And when the chat market's in full swing, it's quite incredible. Sight here. Literally thousands of people queuing up for it, and they chew it, and it gives you a bit of a high. And
and then what do they do? I mean, would you notice that they're on a high?
You would. You'd notice them in their appearance, and if they're inclined to be aggressive, they're probably a bit more so when they're on a high. And we're literally passing through the centre of the town itself, and as you can see, people living in quite appalling poverty. Although life, I think that one of the interesting sights is we've just passed a new petrol station, or a diesel station, in fact, and that's a new development over the last couple of months. So over the last few months, there has been an enormous change. I mean, in the last year, Baidoa is totally changed from what it was. I mean, before there was nothing moved, no people were dying, and there are hundreds literally. Now there's a normality. In fact, just here on the left-hand side would be what you might call the central bus terminus, but it's where you can see the ladies and the people sitting there with their children and their containers of water. They may have come in 10 kilometres for that water, or they've got gourds, the gourds, which contain camel milk, which they drink.
And would they buy the camel milk?
They buy the camel milk or trade it, yeah. But they are waiting for a lift. You see one of those old buses or the trucks. And you could literally, it's no exaggeration to see 150 people crammed inside one of those single-decker buses.
And they're so cracking.
Terrible, yeah. Oh. So the bullet hole in the window of his, it's Somali version of air conditioning. I mean, look at the bath looking so incongruous looking sitting there on the side of the road. Obviously, it'd been looted out of a house or something. No water. Water is the biggest problem here at the moment. The drought is... See this poor lady here? My God, she's carrying, I suppose, at least 100 weight of sticks in her back. I'm close to it anyhow.
Yes.
I mean, it's dreadful. When we're going around the bypass route, as we call it, around the town, there are quite a lot of shacks. I mean, they're like upturned umbrellas, really, made from twigs and scraps of cloth and bits of grass and bits of polythene, whatever they can find. And these actually are used by people as their homes. Now, there is a suggestion that some of the people who would like to get more water and more food from the aid agencies, the NGOs, the non-governmental agencies, that they have set these up and that they move out of town and stay there during the day to give the impression that they're living there, but without doubt that there are many people coming in, and more people are beginning to come into to town. We're coming up to a fairly grim area here where these displaced persons have their little shacks, which are so familiar from the days of the famine, and you can see how appalling they are. I suppose there must be literally, on the size of a football field, there are probably 300 families, wouldn't be an exaggeration, living. They're living in those shacks, yeah. I mean, in the old days, this was a marvellous centre for wildlife, and lion, elephant, leopard, everything was here, but now they've either poached it or shot it or eaten it or whatever, you know. On the right-hand side, you've got an old truck, as you can see, just completely stripped. They're amazing, like, they take literally everything. They salvage it, and they use it to keep their old trucks running. I don't know how they do it. You see the houses on the left-hand side completely gutted. No windows, no electrical plumbing, no conduit, no cable. They even dig up the piping underground. The women carry, say, 25, 30 litres of water in a container strapped on their back, and they use a band around their forehead to support it. And they literally go off into the bush in bare feet across the thorns and the cattle carrying this. It's just unbelievable. See that woman? I mean, she's carrying one, two, she's three, she's four containers, actually. I mean, that's...
And she probably might be going to walk 10 and 12 miles.
I'd say 10, 12 miles, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frightening. See them all gathered here?
Oh, yes.
and they're sitting with the most meagre shade and all gathering.
And it's all for water.
All for water, yeah. I mean, it's disgraceful that in this day and age that people have to queue for the most basic necessity of life like that.
Then a stop to meet some of the Indian engineers for a very welcome cold beer and some Indian snacks, all served on silver dishes by white-gloved waiters.
I am Lieutenant Colonel Sooch, Officer Commanding Indian Engineers Company at Baidoa. I take this opportunity to bid goodbye to number one Irish Transport Company and welcome number two Irish Transport Company. Our interaction with number one Irish Transport Company was a fabulous one. We always had very nice time with them, starting from the days when they lifted us from Mogadishu to this place. I look forward to a wonderful inning with number two. With these words, I wish all the best to number one and welcome number two for their wonderful time in Baidoa. Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Wonderful, wonderful. Can you sing a song?
Very fine singer.
My. That's a very difficult proposition. I've never sung. I've been humming in the bathroom always. No, yesterday there were the group of boys who had gone prepared and they sang some Hindian song. I'll sing the same line for you, only one line, okay?
Perfect.
Chalt musafir mohliyo re pinjre wali muniya. Chalt musafir mohliyo re pinjre wali muniya.
He was a big man with a big personality. Then a very different visit to the orphanage in Baidoa. Our President Mary Robinson also visited this same orphanage when she was there.
Hello.
Are they all without mothers and fathers?
Yeah, they have not parents all.
At all?
Yeah.
Neither mother nor father?
No father. And some of them has a mother, but they have not a father.
And where were the mothers?
And, but some of them, they have not mother and father.
Oh, I understand, yes. Yeah. And their ages are from what?
Their ages up to 5 until 14 years old.
14?
14 up to 5.
Yeah. And you have school?
Yeah, school. They have two classrooms, 12 classrooms in here. Yeah. 6 is afternoon and 6 is morning time.
I see. And you have teachers?
Yeah, we have...
850 children. I visited one room in which there were about 8 kind of beds, planks with bits of blankets on top. In this room, 125 children slept. Food for them cooked on open fires, just beans, and the children begged for pens. There too, small children were dying of TB. There are 6 doctors with the Indian contingent, and later that night I met one of them.
They had asked us to volunteer because they wanted lady medical officers and the nurses. When they came here, when our brigade came here, they found that there were a lot of women and children requiring treatment, the civilians. And being a Muslim country, they would have preferred women to treat the women. So our commander, when he came here, he sent across a message asking that they should serve.
Is there anything you particularly find difficult here?
I mean, the difficult would be the patients. They don't come back to you. Like, you know, those whom they don't realize the importance. Like today you give them medicine for 3 days because we can't give longer because of, you know, they might sell them. They may not take them properly. They waste them. So we give them. And then after 3 days, they won't come back. They'll come after a week. So they've broken the treatment. You know, you get frustrated. And there's no hospital, proper hospitals for them because we are not doing inpatient treatment for the civilians. Various reasons that I can't go into, but whatever. So we are not doing. So that is another problem. So.
That's very difficult.
Otherwise, we are quite well. We have a very good. We've got our own medicines from India. We're using those. So we're quite well off.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
The doctor with the Irish Transport Company is Dr. Nora Curran. And she'd been there for 1 week when I talked to her. And she also travelled on the Hercules.
Did indeed, yes.
What do you think about that?
Oh, it was amazing. But I love flying in airplanes and I found it very exciting.
It was very strange, wasn't it?
It was indeed. It was indeed. My biggest problem was the steward on the plane said there was a latrine up front. So I went up front expecting to find a latrine, and what I found was a very low-lying bucket on the floor near the cockpit. So a curtain was quickly provided, and it was great fun. Noisy, but great fun.
Yeah. Well, have you had your first clinic yet?
We do have some spare time, and we're able to go down to the local hospital, which is badly in need of any kind of help at all. The staff there are brilliant. They're all unpaid volunteers.
And how are the facilities there?
The facilities are appalling, in the sense that they don't have X-ray, and terrible road traffic accidents and gunshot wounds coming in, and the surgeon has to operate on these people and remove bullets and whatever without any X-ray facility.
What about anaesthetic?
They all... they don't have anaesthetists, and a drug called ketamine is given for putting people asleep, which would not be used in Ireland at all these days. Also spinal anaesthetic is given instead of what we use at home.
Like an epidural?
Like an epidural, yeah. So this is all that's available to them, but it works. And, you know, huge operations are carried out. I saw a man yesterday who had his arm amputated, a young man in his 20s, and this was done with the use of ketamine, and he's wide awake today anyway.
He's fine.
He's fine, well, apart from his arm, yes.
Are you excited to be here?
Very excited, yes.
Where are you from at home?
I'm from Dublin, living in Naas. And
this is somewhat different.
It's very different, but I'm very excited about it and looking forward to 6 months.
Yeah, that's great.
So.
And the new hands are being shown their duties by the old hands. What are you going to show them?
No. I'm just going to show them the location here of this fuse box, which is controlled from the cuckoos. This fuse box here, there's 8 breakers in it, and it's for the 8 different sleeper accommodations just around here locally. Yeah. And just showing him how to turn them off and on, and where anything can go wrong.
And how often does he have to do that?
Well, no, that's just if any problems can come up, crop up, you know.
Hopefully,
you
don't have to do it at all.
No, there'll be no problems at all.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. That's basically it. Yeah. It's actually controlled from the cuckoos area. If anything goes wrong, if anything trips out, you know, it'll be isolated down to the cuckoos.
And you can switch it on at the cuckoos for here?
Yeah. That's after turning off all the accommodation here. Locally here, all the small accommodations.
Yeah. You can do the same thing behind the cuckoos at night, like the spawn station.
You've all the different sleepers there,
and
the air conditioning units there, on the back on.
I see. Could we go down to the cuckoos?
You want to go down to cuckoos?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Okay.
That's controlled. The cuckoos controls nearly everywhere.
Are you finding this very interesting?
Huh?
Are you finding it interesting? Yeah.
Well, in part, but
yes. Haven't they made this all look very nice?
Yeah, it's grand, right?
Yeah. Now we're in the cookhouse. Yeah?
We can isolate the whole camp from here as well.
Oh, yeah.
We've 4 main breakers in this panel here. One for... two for the accommodation. That's where I was just after showing you. I can knock out the accommodation from here, like that there.
Yeah.
So all the accommodation's off there now. So I'll just go back on.
They think everything is broken down.
Yeah. But I don't switch these too often now because there's computers on at the moment, you know.
Yeah, correct.
You have the laundry panel there, and then you have the kitchen supply here. Two supplies here.
It's all really very simple, isn't it?
Very simple. All that breakers. There's any problems, like you just chip out there. You have convection ovens, grill oven, range oven, deep fryer. This is all 3-phase.
Like, we were really surprised ourselves with the equipment, you know. But, It's not what we expected, you know. We expected something a lot worse than it, you know.
Yeah.
So we were really thrilled with it.
Yeah. I just tell her there, like, most of the stuff came with the weather here from Canada.
Yeah, it's totally fitted out. Everything we need is in it, like, you know. It's, as you can see, it's
So, weren't they both the
Weatherhaven.
The Weatherhaven.
Yes.
Things that we're sleeping in, you know.
Yeah, before we got to Weatherhaven, like, we were in tents and we had the other burners, the other cookers.
The
M59s. Field cookers, like, on the ground, like, you know. But after the 10 days, like, we had all this set up, you know.
Yeah. But did they come, like, with the beds in them as well?
Yeah. The Weatherhaven, yeah. Beds.
Lockers.
Lockers, the bed sheets and all that came with the Weatherhaven. It was fantastic, you know.
Tell me, are you dying with the heat?
No, I don't. It's hot, like, but so if you keep walking around, it's grand, like, it's not too bad, you know. But if it stood still, I wouldn't be able to stand out, like.
No, you couldn't. Did you tell me where you're from, Eamon?
From County Limerick.
Where in County Limerick?
Ballylanders, small village, Ballylanders.
So. God, Ballylanders to here and never having anywhere before is an incredible difference, isn't it?
That is all right, big change, but we get used to it now. Six months to get used to it, so.
As with most places there, and all the generators, and indeed the wind, difficult to find a quiet area. But I did talk to one of the Somalis who works there. There are four of them, very pleased to have a job, and think their $200 a month is just wonderful. I talked to Happy, as he is called. He was delighted with life now, not as it was just a short time ago, with maybe 300 people dying every day.
People used to pay for almost 300 a day for hungry, but there's no much problem now.
All gone?
Yes. Life is becoming normal as used to be before the Civil War.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Is that good?
Really.
In such a short time?
Yes. Even business is going good, but the problem is sometimes banditry on the way to road. For example, when you're going to Mogadishu, there's some bandits. It's only those ones. There's no much problem. In downtown, the security is good.
In Baidoa?
Yeah, according to, if I compare Mogadishu and here, there's a big difference. Here is much better, yeah. And here everybody is very happy with the Irish especially. Because the reason why we are happy with the Irish, there are some local NGOs who are from Ireland, they come and help our people. So we are very happy with those special Irish people. Yeah.
For our sleep in the Weatherhaven tent, next morning we were supposed to leave at 8:30. News came of the hijack in Nairobi, so the Hercules arrived about 3 hours late. Then it was time to leave Cam Shannon with the number one transport company to fly home.
Number one transport company, Jackie, right.
No one's got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
The boys approaching the Hercules delighted to be on the first leg of the journey back. It was an amazing sight. Parked there on the runway, the Hercules. Around, nothing but desolate land. And a farewell scene set up by the Indians. Red carpet, tables with soft drinks and tidbits, all covered by a very colourful canopy. And the band of the Indian contingent in their wonderful uniforms, perhaps better looking than better sounding. Another couple of hours on the Hercules to Nairobi, a delay, and then back on the plane, where I found Matty Doyle, delighted to be going home because he was one of the very first to land in Baidoa.
It was the real BBF. humans go, and that's all that occupied the field from where we arrived.
Did you find the skull?
Aye, it was just lying on top of the ground. We started off, as soon as the lads arrived, unloaded everything and proceeded to set it up. We had the assistance from supervisors from Weatherhaven, and they basically showed us. We divided up into groups, like different groups, and one crowd would set down the foundations and the crowd put down the floors. After a while, like, it was pretty obvious who was good at what job, so we changed them around. And so basically it went like that. One crowd would go ahead setting up the floor, the next crowd would come behind putting up the frame, and then another party come along putting up the canvas, then the electrician and his party the wiring. So it progressed like that, you know.
How long did it take?
It took us 10 hard, grueling days, let me tell you. We were usually up our bed about 4:30, 4:45. And
about halfway through
the You're all right. 4:30, 4:45, and a bit of breakfast. And as soon as first light started, we started work. And basically, it was go through the day with maybe just a half an hour during the day and until the sun went down at night. And didn't even always end there. Like, some of the guys kept going longer, like, you know.
Well, I suppose the quicker you got to set up.
Well, that was it.
How did you manage when there was nothing to sleep in? Or?
Well, that was part of my job when I went out first, myself and another chap who actually had to be repatriated. We got a loan of 6 big quiet tents off the French and erected those, and they were the temporary accommodation, like, when the lads came out. That's all they had. 6 tents.
It was very dusty, and we had intermittent kind of showers. Like, there was nothing really heavy. That was to come later.
It must have been awful when it was wet, wasn't it, with all that brown dust?
We had a particularly bad day, or a bad couple of days, and it was just terrible, like, you know. I mean, you gain 6 inches walking around. It just clung to the heels of your shoe, or the soles of your boots.
What, you mean you grew taller?
You grew taller, yeah. And it gets everywhere. Oh,
it's been so messy.
Beds, yeah, it's very, very messy.
I can't believe it, you know, that it looks so good now. I mean, as camps go, that when you arrived, it was just nothing but a field. It's amazing.
It's a big brown field.
Just tell me a little bit about taking all the photographs, will you? Might as well. How many places now have you been to take photographs?
This really is the second time, apart from Lebanon and a normal routine at home. The Somalia mission is really the second time overseas.
You're taking loads and loads and loads of photographs. Is there any one now you think that's going to be really good?
I would say the orphanage, without doubt. You know, like, we have an orphanage in Lebanon, as a lot of people will know, but it's on a much smaller scale and much, much better, you know, well looked after by the Irish out there. But this is a totally different scene altogether. Much poorer, you know, an awful lot of children. Something I think was in the region of 1,000 children out here, you know. And like, the brightness in the rise there, the minute the troops walk in, start talking to them, and, you know, and they're actually being well looked after out here now, as opposed to what they were maybe 2 or 3 years ago. You saw for yourself there the amount of cooking that has been done in the big vats and the big pots. But definitely, from a photographic point of view, children always supply a great opportunity, you know, and look very magnificent. Yeah, look very, very well. Yeah.
Some go very sick. Did you see some of the sick ones?
I didn't know. Unfortunately, I didn't get an opportunity. I by the time we were getting out of the of that area, you know, I was starting to move. But from what I did see, the kids were well looked after, mind you, now. And even though they at times look to be undernourished, you know, they were looking fairly well and very happy, very happy at the moment. But certainly that's it's something that you see so often in news at home, but it's only until you get on the ground and see it that you realise how bad things really are.
We're about 2 hours from landing in Dublin, and the army found out that this flight is the very last flight being taken by our captain, and he's Captain Fisher, and he's retiring tonight on this plane on its last flight as well for Aer Lingus, because then it's going off to America. And I have a wonderful ringside view here, because we're up at the very top of the aeroplane, and they're having a guard of honour for the captain. I'm going to present him with something small, and I'm going to play music as well, so it's going to happen in a minute or two.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Courtney's still on captain. Cheers.
Just for a moment, please. On behalf of the many, many Irish people who have travelled on Aer Lingus over the years and who have had the privilege of travelling with Captain Jack Fisher, it's a privilege for us in the Defence Forces to have been with Jack on his last flight, and also on the last flight of Big Gal, the 767, which is going to TWA tomorrow. And I know that when we arrived in Nairobi today, and on many occasions, for Irish people like us, when we saw that shamrock on the fuselage of the plane, we knew that we were home. And on behalf of everybody, in the Defence Forces particularly, whose privilege it is to travel with you, Jack, this evening, and on behalf of the travelling public, may I wish you a very, very happy retirement and many, many happy landings to you over the next many, many years.
And at 1 a.m. on the morning of Wednesday, we are back at McKee Barracks, where the families wait for their men.
Where was your daddy?
Daddy?
Yeah.
My daddy.
Somalia.
Where was he?
Yeah.
He was in Somalia.
In Somalia.
Does he look different?
Yeah.
Does he?
Is he 5'30"?
His face.
Do you think his face is
older?
Where's your daddy?
He does. He won't. Obviously, he won't say much to you.
I don't suppose.
No.
Does he look funny? Doesn't he look all different?
He's on. Looks nice and brown.
Yeah.
Was it his birthday?
Yeah,
he's only two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great to have him back. Yeah.
Are you happy now?
Oh yeah. I'm saying that again. Great.
Okay. Your daddy coming back?
Yeah.
Coming back from where?
Somalia.
Oh, have you seen him yet?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, have you? What does he look like?
He's really brown.
Does he look different?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Did he think you look different?
Yeah.
Can you say you got bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have, I'm sure. Are you going to have a party for him?
Yeah.
Really, tell me about it.
There's loads of balloons at home.
At the end of 3 days, happy, happy families at McKee Barracks at 1 a.m. on the 8th of March. Have a good St. Patrick's Day.